Never has there been a time in our brotherhood, there has been in the history of God's people. But I think today as we look around us, we are all acutely aware of the fact that we need leadership among the sheep. And if we do not have that, then we will fail. And many congregations, quite frankly, are failing because they do not have the structure nor the foundation preparing themselves to stand against the storms that come along so that they can be by the waters that are peaceful and live in a time where peace will prevail among them. And of course, that's what has to happen. As we begin to talk about spiritual objective leadership, and I want to emphasize it must be objective. We cannot start looking into the books and the manuals of men and find the answers that we need to give the church the direction that it must have. It must come from God's Word. And objective reasoning and study means that we use the will of God and God's will only to find the answers and then to fix them. Now, part of the problem that we have many times in the church today, and all of us have probably been experienced some of this, is we tend to want to work on the symptoms and never get to the real cause for why these things happen in the first place. And that's what I'd like to do tonight in the time that I have permitted. Now, when Brother told me that, I thought he's going to tell me I had an hour, and he said 20 minutes, and I thought, wonder what Don McCord would do in that 20 minutes. Maybe come up with a good opening, but I doubt he'd get much further than that. But nevertheless, the time we have allotted, I want to talk about how do we solve these problems. Well, I think we have to come to an understanding and a realization that there's something worse than not having elders in our congregations, and that is having the wrong elders or leaders in our congregations. Our brother briefly mentioned that. That's something we have to think about. You know, just because you're an older person, or just because you may have a bank account full of money, or just because of this or that, doesn't make you qualified to be an elder or to be a leader in a congregation. And so that's why we're studying this, so we can understand what does qualify us. How do we become qualified, and how do we remain qualified, and what happens when we reach an age in life that we can no longer function as a leader? We have to have other leaders that can come on and take our place. Well, Jesus warns us against those who would influence or attempt to influence the people of God through false doctrines in Matthew 7:15-20, and also in 2 John 1:10. In this life, I want to make a statement, and I want us to think about it for just a moment as we move forward very quickly. Every one of us is entitled to our own opinions about what will work or might not work. Every one of us has an opinion, and we're entitled to those, but none of us are entitled to our own truth. Only God can give us truth. Only God can give us what we need to guide and lead us in paths of righteousness. In John 17:17, Jesus said to his disciples then, and I think rightfully so today, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. And so we must realize that it is by the word of God that we are set apart from the world. Consider the outcome should we begin to follow our own opinions rather than follow the will of the Almighty God of heaven. First of all, Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know, this is something that we can go to the bank with, as they say, I know the way of man is not in himself, it's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So we must turn to the will of God. Genesis 3:1-6, Satan's lie caused Eve to fall. She fell from grace, even though the world tells us you can't fall from grace. It's amazing to me that time and time again, God's people did fall from grace, and we need to understand that and how to protect from it. Matthew 4:1-11, Jesus, being tempted of Satan by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, answered with the word of God. And he just simply said, I don't have to answer that, Satan. My Father's already done it for me. Can we do that? When we are questioned about our faith, when we, our leaders in the church, or our children ask us about these things, are we equipped and ready with the Word of God to give an answer to every man that asks of us the hope that lies within us? Are you ready? Am I ready? And if we're not, then we can't be a leader, because that's what leaders do. They prepare themselves with the right kind of knowledge and background to be able to objectively, not subjectively, but objectively answer these questions of life. And leaders are able to answer these things. We know that God has given us His Word for this reason. When God leads humanity, it is always through His Word of truth and never by some off-the-wall statement or some idea of men. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, and this is going to lead down to the foundation, we hope, and get to it here very pretty quick, of what we really want to talk about and what the foundation costs for the lack of leadership and how we can get back to developing good, strong, sound leadership in the church to lead the church of tomorrow in the direction it needs to be going. Not away from God, but toward God. Not listening to the world and the doctrines and commandments of men, but listening to the will of the Almighty God of heaven. Here the Bible tells us God, who at sundry times, of course, identifies who we need to be listening to, and that is God and not men, who at sundry time and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, I don't want to go any further, because this gives us some insight to something that is very important. He said the fathers of old were who God talked to, and the fathers of old, being of age and of understanding, were able to take what God told them and give it to their families. Now that's something we want to talk a little more about here in a moment. But you see, it was the fathers, it was the heads of the home is where this has to start. And we'll notice that more. In Psalms 119 and 89, speaking of the Word of God, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." And Psalms 119 and 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so we find very quickly that it is God's Word that directs us and guides us. Now, 15 or 20 minutes, I have to hurry here, so I'm not being able to spend much time on anything, but here's the five things that we find in the Old Testament that God told Moses to give to the children of Israel. He said, you tell the parents to tell their children these five things. What were they? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, what we find is He told them to give them knowledge. Make sure they knew what God's Word said. Give them understanding. Make sure they realize what it meant and what it meant to them. Give them wisdom so that they would know how to apply what that knowledge was. And that understanding, they were able to apply it, rightly applying the Word of God. And then righteousness, or good behavior. Now, if the parents weren't doing the good behavior, how do you expect your children to be good behavior? Of good behavior? Well, they won't. But you see, leadership begins with teaching our children. One of the elements that's left out is discipline, of course. We don't have time to talk about that, but we need that strongly in the church today, is good, strong discipline. Discipline is not about seeing who we can run over, walk over, or move out of the church. It's about who we can save and get them redirected in their life to do what is right. And that takes people who have the knowledge and understanding and the wisdom to know how to apply God's Word in a way that it encourages people to follow the Lord and not walk away from Him. And so we began to build, through these young lives, we began to build new leaders. And that's what we are attempting to do throughout this whole meeting, is to develop leadership. Teach everyone how to be a better leader in their life. Well, you know, that God's divine pattern began in the very genesis of time. When God developed and set in order in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28, the marriage bond, the idea of a man and a woman and their relationship. In Genesis 2, verse 18 through 25, God established the standard of truth and leadership in marriage and the home. And so it is from this foundation that he begins to build up on for leadership. The leadership that will direct and that will guide. And it starts with our little ones, and it develops them so that when they come the age of accountability, that they'll obey the gospel. They will begin to study and learn of God's way, get understanding, wisdom, and then they will apply that in their life, and they will do exactly what Jesus told his disciples to do in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 13 through 16. To be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. That's leadership. That's a shepherd unto the world. A way of teaching them and showing them what true religion is about and serving God. Well, we find also that in this marriage relationship, the husband is to be the head of his wife and leader over his home. Is that the way it is in your home? Is that the way it is in my home? Is that the way it is in our churches? Because if we're not following the divine pattern, how can we be shepherds? How can our children learn how to be good parents if we're not good parents? And that means sometimes using discipline in a, it may seem harsh at the time, but the crying tears of a young girl or a young boy will save their soul perhaps one day. The wife is to assist, and of course we find this recorded for us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 33, where God explains this. And he's given a picture now. Through the home, what we have is the foundation of what will happen in the church. This is how it's going to be in the church. If we have this same foundation in our homes, we carry that right over into the church. Proper head, the proper authority, the proper respect, the proper disciplines, and all the things that are necessary in order for that home to be a unit that we can look at and say, those people are living for the Lord. And so the wife is to assist, secondly, the husband in his and their responsibility in marriage, and over the home, support fulfilling the local congregational church growth. Now, sometimes, as I said, we want to deal with symptoms instead of the cause. Well, somebody asked me one time, what do you think is the one thing that would help us get back to having good, strong leadership in the church? And I said, when we get it in the home, we'll have it in the church. We get our homes developed the way they ought to be, and our children growing the way they ought to grow, and being the shepherds to our children that we ought to be, you'll see a great change take place. And let me tell you, you find a congregation that's growing and working, and I can almost guarantee you that within that congregation, you're going to find parents whose children are respectful. I can tell immediately when I walk into a congregation and I'm met by some of the people there that their children will come up and they'll say, "Hi, little bitty tots." They're very respectful of the preacher. They're very respectful of God's servants. They didn't learn that by happenstance. And they won't soon forget it. Those lessons need to be learned, and those lessons need to be propagated throughout our brotherhood so that we grow as God's people. Also, together, our children learn to walk in paths of righteousness. They don't scream and holler and get their way, and then tomorrow we wonder, well, you know, I had to give in to them. We give in, we might as well throw in the towel at the same time, as the old saying goes. Well, the idea, according to Psalms 127, is that we should be raising up our homes in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Children are sheep, and they're commanded to follow in the way of the Lord as well to their parents. Proverbs 22 and 6, as well as Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, we're taught these things. In the home is found the blueprint for tomorrow's church. And if we're not setting the example in our homes, then we will not have that happen in our congregations. You want a strong congregation? Have strong homes. The problem that we face in the world today is this very idea that we allow our children to do anything they want. How can you have discipline? How can you have strength? How can you grow a congregation if your children are not disciplined and your children are not obedient to you in your own house? We want elders and we want deacons and we want leadership in the church. But we need the right leadership and the right people in those positions. People who by their own homes have proven that they're worthy of those positions. And you know, that's what the Bible teaches us, isn't it? When we begin to talk about eldership, when we begin to talk about leadership, we don't just say, well, you know, I think so-and-so might be a good leader. No, what do? We prove them by the Word of God. We go and we find someone who fits the pattern. And when they fit the pattern, then we know at least we're on the right track. Not everybody that meets most of the qualifications are going to be qualified to lead within the church. But those who meet all the qualifications certainly are. And we have plenty of folks that can. And they just need to be encouraged to do those things. In conclusion, we look at Psalms 23, as our brother was talking about. It's a great psalm. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. He teaches me. He guides me. He said, because He is my shepherd, I want for nothing. He makes me or causes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. You know, he's talking about crowning someone. He's talking about honoring someone. And he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friends, the good shepherd is willing to see you through to the end. How are we when it comes to our homes? Do we serve our children the way we ought to serve them? Do we have time for our children? Do we make sure they know what the Bible teaches? Do we practice the things that God has given us to do? In this day and time, we see that the home is totally tore apart in so many places. There's no respect for parents. And once you lose that respect, you're going to lose your children. We have to turn back to God's way in order to save ourselves and our children. How's it with us today? Are we willing to do it the Lord's way? Are we willing to fulfill His will within our lives? What about you today? What about me? Do we teach our children the things of God, or we just assume they know them? Taking time out to lead them and to guide them and instruct them in righteousness. Well, we see then that we need to turn back to the Lord. We need to turn back to His ways, His Word. And we need to follow again the ways of righteousness, teaching our children God's way. The books throughout the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, we know there that He teaches them that they are to teach their children and train them up and tell them every day the things of God and make sure that they are instilled within their heart so that they will not depart from Him when they grow old. And so it is as we labor for the Lord. So it is this evening. Are you serving God? Are you worshiping God in spirit and in truth? Are you giving Him your all? Are you teaching your children? This is what we must do in order to save them from the sin that otherwise will consume them. Well, there's a lot more I wanted to say, but time is up. So I'm going to sit down and say thank you for the time that you've given to me.